Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
A happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys to kick off the week, talking a little bit of everything. We got Johnny V standing by, talk some college baseball. We got MLB on the show today, NBA, NHL. We're talking Offensive Rookie of the Year in the NFL as well. So we're diving into a bunch of different things. As always, we want to hear from you guys. Any questions, any comments that you have, anything that's on your mind, send them in to us at the BetMGM Network on Twitch, on YouTube, on X as well. We'll get to all your comments over the next 30 minutes. We'll give out our favorite plays of the day at the end of the show. Jake Hassan will join us as well. And if you guys miss any part of the show today, make sure you go back. We'll have it all for you on the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you guys get your podcast. Let's get locked and loaded on a Monday. Glasses in session. And we go to the Glasser guest line to check in with Johnny Venezia, who joins us. Give him a follow on X at underscore Johnny VTV, host of the Breaking Bet podcast. Johnny's feeling good here on a Monday. Johnny, you know who's not feeling all that great is your Tennessee Volunteers. I want to start with them because when we talked last Monday, they were a top 10 team in the D1 coaches poll, Baseball America poll. Now they're number 12. However, the odds makers, especially at BetMGM, they still like the Vols. They still think they are the favorites to go back-to-back at plus 400. So talk to us about Tennessee. Why have they fallen, but why are they still thought of as the team to beat in college baseball?
Great to be back, PJ. And that's a fair question. I mean, Tennessee Volunteers, all season I felt like it was them, LSU, and Texas as the three best teams with the most likely chance to win the College World Series this year. The last 3 weeks, the Volunteers have lost three series with A&M, Kentucky, and now LSU. And listen, in all fairness, they play two really good teams in A&M and LSU. And I think, honestly, the struggles come down to the Sunday starter situation is something they need to get cleared up, because a lot of times they're behind the eight ball with a non-reliable Sunday starter, which is critical. That's something they've always had, is a great 1-2-3 punch in the rotation. They have their star pitcher, who was supposed to be the Friday guy coming into the year, and A.J. Russell, ready to return for the second half. Just not sure when that's going to be. That's a kid who might be a first rounder, or at least it was before the injury. I think the bullpen needs to be cleaned up. Just some mistakes, not pitching to their best. Nate Snead, their closer, is going to be fine. He had a rough weekend, but this is one of the best relievers slash closers in the country. And I think, honestly, the offense is just trying to do too much. Like, earlier in the year, they were getting the big hits and converting in the key situations. And I think this season, they've just kind of gotten away from that, maybe trying to do a little bit too much. But it's baseball, man. It's the SEC. This happens. This builds character. I think Tennessee is going to be fine moving forward. I still have them definitely making the College World Series should they stay healthy. I think Tennessee is going to be a great team still for the rest of the year.
Another SEC team I want to talk to you about, Johnny, is the Arkansas Razorbacks. Anybody that follow college baseball knows Dave Van Horn always has a good program. They're always amongst the top 10, top 8 teams in the country. This year is really no different. They've had another good year, but like Tennessee, they have struggled as of late. What do you make of the Hogs this year? Do you think this team is as good as some of the others that they have? Would you place any futures bets on Arkansas?
No. I was an Arkansas truther, preseason bet to win it all last year. And you know, listen, I do hold grudges, but you know, I'm also fair in the point where if I think they were good enough this year that they were going to do it. The offense has been a lot better than last season, but in fair point, you know, it couldn't have gotten much worse from last year. The pitching has taken a bit of a step back. It's still really good pitching, but you know, listen, Arkansas was a team I was down on coming into this year. I just did not think that they were going to be able to do it. And listen, while there's still a lot of time left, we've seen Arkansas just implode lately. And I think a lot of people like to bite the bait and like to, you know, do the ride the roller coaster up and down. And the truth is they were winning and so hot early because they didn't play anybody. And I'm like, wait, like they haven't beaten anybody. Once they start getting to the second half loaded part of their schedule, let's see how good they are. And you know who they have left on deck? They have Tennessee, they have LSU, and they have Texas left. So if Arkansas can beat those, maybe they can get their mojo back. But to be honest, I don't believe in the Razorbacks, and I haven't all year. I think they're lacking the legitimate star power in the pitching staff, especially in the starting rotation this year. While it's good, it's not what it was last year. No Hagan Smith. And I think the offense is going to regress to the mean in the second half year against much better pitching.
Talking with Johnny Venezia here on Send It In. Make sure you guys check out the Breaking Bet podcast and give Johnny a follow on X at @_JohnnyVTV. Johnny, let's go to the ACC. Three really good teams this year: Clemson, North Carolina, Florida State. Of those three, who's your favorite in the ACC?
You know, UNC and Clemson were two teams I had going into the College World Series in the preseason. FSU, you know how much I loved them last year. I had a King's ransom on the Seminoles, and, you know, they disappointed me. So, you know, they suffer. They need to suffer. But I think, honestly, Florida State's offense coming this year was something I was a bit concerned about. It's been better than expected. Some unlikely sources have stepped up and overproduced. But to be honest now, man, like, the bullpen was always the big concern. Florida State's opportunity was last year. Their bullpen was basically the same last year as it is this year for the most part. But, you know, if your bullpen can't deliver in the late innings, and that's going to be a big problem, especially when you get to a College World Series format where you have to have 7-8 arms consistently produced to be able to advance and move forward. You saw how ruthless that format is. And I think Florida State's the odd team out. I think UNC is the team that I would probably be backing right now. Clemson's offense needs to just start bringing it together. And honestly, their starting rotation has become an issue, because if Aiden Knock does not deliver on Fridays, then it becomes a real problem for them in the rest of the weekend, just because it's too up and down with the other guys.
Love getting your thoughts on a lot of these mid-major teams. You've told us how much you like Western Kentucky, Coastal Carolina, Southern Miss are having another great year. But UC Irvine, Johnny, continues to climb, man. The Anteaters, number 8 right now in the poll. Is UC Irvine, like, are they for real? I mean, do you think they have a legit shot at making Omaha?
You know, listen, I like Irvine. I've bet on them a lot this year. A great sweep at Cal Poly that pretty much puts the stamp on the Big West title, which should ensure them hosting a regional this year. And listen, I think Irvine can absolutely win a region, depending on who's in it. But the one problem that I get into with these mid-majors, and like I have a sickness where I feel like I always every year have to bet this mid-major that's really good and might have a chance if everything breaks their way. But the truth is, with these mid-majors, they can get past the region, but if they have to go on the road to like a dominant SEC team in the Supers, that's where they run into trouble. Like, if Irvine gets a good path to where they have a region that they can win at home and they have to go on the road and face, you know, a team that's not as good, that's hosting a super regional that's beatable, then I think, you know, they have a chance. But if they have to go to a Tennessee, or they have to go to a Florida State, or they have to go to a Clemson or a UNC or any team like that, I think it could be trouble. But nevertheless, I think Irvine's definitely going to be live. They're the best mid-major in the country right now. When they made the update to their starting pitching rotation, it changed the game for them. The rotation looks awesome. They have one of the best relievers in the country in Ricky Ojeda, who's been a huge piece for them as a hybrid role reliever slash closer. And their offense is good enough, does a lot of damage with a handful of key contributors led by Anthony Martinez. So I like Irvine to make a little run. But in terms of getting to the College World Series, you have to ask me once we finally know the draws.
All right, fair enough. What about in the Big 12, Johnny? Right now, West Virginia, Arizona, and Kansas is starting to come on. They're having a nice year as well. When you look at the landscape of the Big 12, what do you make of those three teams? Who do you like the best?
I got to be honest, man. West Virginia's played really well, but you know, I have doubts on them, like Arkansas, where they haven't beaten anybody. And you know, Big 12 isn't as competitive as the SEC. But I mean, right now, man, Kansas is a team that I was high on coming into the year as a dark horse, and I think they can win it. Kansas is very good, man. Brady Bollinger, he might be the Big 12 player of the year. I mean, he's batting 375 with 13 homers. The kid's leading the Jayhawks offense. They have a couple layups coming up, but then they close out at West Virginia. That might determine the whole thing. But you know what? I don't want to sleep on my Arizona State Sun Devils. I'm a glutton for punishment with the Sun Devils. They have an opportunity as well if they can stay hot with three series left to see if they can close out and steal this Big 12 crown.
I like it. Big 12 should be a fun race the final rest of the regular season. Johnny, talk to me about your futures portfolio. Any other teams we haven't discussed that you've added to your championship or maybe to make the College World Series?
I like sticking to my guns here, Paige. I mean, I'm still riding high on Texas. I still think Texas A&M is going to be fine. It was a little bit of a disappointment this weekend, but I believe in the Aggies. I believe in the Longhorns. And in terms of the other teams, I haven't really found something that I'm like so convinced on that I want to take a piece of. And I hate saying because I want to provide the listeners some new information and, you know, bets to make. But I really think it's Texas and Texas A&M. You could still get the Longhorns 16-1 right now. That's unacceptable. You need to be hitting that. That needs to be sub 10-1. And I think the Aggies still at the 25-to-1 range is a fair game.
Very good. And Johnny, real quick, Golden Spikes market, any update there?
Dude, it's still a dumpster fire. Mason Neville, man, 21 home runs, 325 average, gaining steam. It was 45-1 when I talked to you last week. Now it's 28-1. Might end up being sub 20-1 by the end of the night. Other than that, I think Lavalette still got a shot. If there's somebody else that I didn't talk about, I think Gavin Killen's firmly in the mix as one of the leaders. I hate to say it, but Wahiva Aloy from Arkansas is also drawing some interest. His numbers are really good as one of the best, if not the best player on one of the top 10 teams in the country right now. But 12-1, I think Aloy is going to end up not winning just because of the other contributors on his team. So I think Gavin Killen, Mason Neville, and Jace Lavalette are still probably the three best buys at the current prices.
Johnny, real quick, we got a question from our guy B Mills. He said he put in tickets this morning for Texas 16-1 and also Auburn at 60-1. What do you make of the Tigers, real quick?
You know, the Auburn Tigers are a good team, man. They really are. They have a lot of talent, and I like that piece. I mean, Auburn very well might be a host this year. The one issue I have with Auburn, the one issue is the rest of their starting pitching rotation after Samuel Dutton, who's been amazing this year. Their bullpen is very inconsistent, but even more so, Auburn is a much different team when they have to go on the road as opposed to when they play at home. That is the one issue. But when you have a team as talented as Auburn with some of the higher variance in their pitching staff, it's not a bad ticket to take. Plus, I really think if they get the right draw, they could be going to Omaha this year. So I definitely like adding those two teams to the portfolio. Well done, B Mills.
There you go. B Mills, always appreciate the question from you, sir. Johnny Venezia, give him a follow on X at @JohnnyVTV. Make sure you guys check out the Breaking Bet podcast. As you see, nobody better for college baseball than our guy, Johnny V. Johnny, enjoy the week, my friend. We'll talk again soon.
You too, buddy. Thank you.
Absolutely. All right, guys, let's continue talking baseball here on Send It In. We go from the college to the pros. Minimal slate today in Major League Baseball. We got the Mets and the Nationals finishing up their four-game series. The Nats with a crazy comeback win yesterday. They were trailing 7-1 in the seventh inning. They come back to win it 8-7. Mets are -160. The Nats are +135 today. Griffin Canning on the mound against Trevor Williams. I'm going with another over today at 9.5. Beautiful day today in D.C. The ballpark is literally a block from our studio here in Washington, D.C. I think the ball is going to be traveling. Two pitchers that are not all that great on the mound today. I think we get an over game, so give me over 9.5 runs. Twins and Guardians today in Cleveland. Guardians -125. Favorite, the Twins are +105. Bailey Ober going up against Gavin Williams. Bailey Ober has been terrific against the Guardians in his career. He's made 8 starts against them, and he's got an ERA of 2.20. He's also only given up 1 earned run in 3 of his last 4 starts. Stephen Kwan, 0-for-12 in his career against Bailey Ober. So maybe you look at like Kwan not to record a hit today at plus money. That could be something worth investing in. But I like the under, and I like the Twins on the money line because of how good Ober has not only been this season, but also against Cleveland. Yankees and Orioles today in Baltimore, a total of 9. Yankees are minus 135. Orioles are plus 110. Guys, my O's are so bad. The only teams that have fewer wins right now in the Orioles are the Rockies and the White Sox. That's how bad the O's are right now. They have no juice. This team is lifeless. Please do not bet them to win until they get rid of Brandon Hyde. They need that spark until they do. I don't know how you can bet this team. Today's game, I'm betting the Yurphy, minus 120, between Will Warren and Sagano going for the O's. So now that Sagano's made like 5 starts for the Orioles coming over from Japan, and we've kind of got to see him, he's not great to start the game in the first couple innings, and then he settles in, and he kind of gives you like 6 innings, and he only gives up 3 earned runs. But usually, the start is always rocky. Obviously, you got Aaron Judge at the top of the Yankees order, so I would lay the minus 120, bet the Yurphy in Orioles and Yankees. Cardinals and Reds today in Cincinnati. Nick Martinez going up against Andre Pallant. The Reds have not won a game yet in any of the 5 starts that Martinez has made this season. So with them being favorites, I'm going to fade them and take St. Louis today at plus 100. A's and Rangers in a pick'em today out in Texas. You have Patrick Corbin against J.P. Sears. Both guys have actually pitched pretty well this season. Again, I think it's a pick'em because of Patrick Corbin's name up there. Even though he's been pitching pretty well, I would look at Texas today in a pick'em at home against the Athletics. Tigers and Astros today in Houston. Ronel Blanco going up against Jack Flaherty. Blanco's got an ERA over 5. Flaherty's been terrific for the Tigers. They've won 4 in a row. They swept the Orioles. They're 8-2 in their last 10 games, yet they're underdogs today in Houston. Give me the Astros at minus 120. Braves and Rockies, so I love these spots. When a team is playing in Colorado, no off day, they have to adjust to the altitude. I think the Rockies are a good look today at plus 145 with Bryce Elder against Ryan Feltner. And then finally, Marlins-Dodgers. I mean, when the Dodgers play games like this at home against like the Marlins and the Pirates and those kinds of teams of the world, the Rockies, I won no part. They're minus 295, minus 140 on the run line, so I will stay away from that one. B-Mills, I heard you say you like Stephen Kwan over 1.5 total bases at plus 125 and Corbin under 5.5 Ks today. So as I told you, B-Mills, Kwan 0-for-12 in his career against Bailey Ober. So certainly you could get that against the reliever. Would be a little cautious of that though. And then Patrick Corbin, I like that as well. Athletics, we know they've been a pesky team this season. And yeah, I don't think Corbin's going to get to 5 Ks. So I like that play for you today. All right, let's continue rolling here. Let's talk some NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year on Send It In. The draft is completed. We know where all these rookies are going to play for their NFL teams in their rookie season. And no surprise, really, Ashton Jeanty and Cam Ward, the 2 favorites in this market. Jeanty is plus 250. Cam Ward is plus 250 as well. They're co-favorites. And to be honest with you guys, I don't like either guy. If I had to choose between the two, I think I'd rather take Jeanty because of the coaching staff that's around him and what the Raiders did in the draft, right? So they get Jeanty at number 6, but then after that, they really invest in the offensive line. They drafted a couple of linemen, and then look at their coaches. Pete Carroll now is the head coach. Chip Kelly's the offensive coordinator. Think LeSean McCoy. Think Marshawn Lynch. They brought in Ashton Jeanty to be their bell cow. The problem is the Raiders, outside of Brock Bowers, they don't have any receiving threat that scares you. So these teams are going to load the box. They know that Las Vegas' game plan is going to be feature Jeanty early and often. I just don't think the value is great on Jeanty at plus 250, and I don't like the fact that the Raiders don't have another receiving threat outside of Bowers that can not put as many guys in the box to stop Jeanty, because that will be the team's game plans going in, is to stop Ashton Jeanty. And then for Cam Ward at plus 250, look, we don't know how good Cam Ward's going to be, right? I think we can all agree, certainly not the prospect we thought Caleb Williams was going to be, or Jaden Daniels, or maybe even Drake May going into last year's draft. We don't really know how great of a head coach Brian Callahan is, because Will Levis kept turning the ball over last year and throwing pick sixes to the other team. Tennessee doesn't have a great receiving core. They don't have a great offense. I just don't think, even though Cam Ward's the number 1 pick, he's certainly going to be the starter from day 1. I just don't love his value at plus 250. Travis Hunter at plus 550 is super interesting. Obviously, an incredible talent, a once-in-a-generation type player, a guy that's playing on both sides of the ball. Whenever you're betting Travis Hunter this season, he's very much going to have the Ohtani effect to him, in the sense that when Ohtani broke on the scene and was doing things that we had never done before, it was just impossible not to give that guy some kind of award, right? When you're pitching and hitting at the level that he is, it's just impossible not to reward him for that. He's still doing it, obviously not to the level that he was, but when he was doing it, it was incredible. Travis Hunter, they're going to start by playing him on both sides of the ball, and if he plays both sides incredibly well and he's able to do the two-way thing, Travis Hunter's got a great shot at winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. The question is, can he stay healthy? That's my biggest thing with Travis Hunter. Unbelievable athlete. I think he can be able to play two sides, maybe not as much corner as he will receiver, but he could do it. I just worry about the injuries with Travis Hunter. So because of that, I can't bet him at plus 550. Tet McMillan for the Panthers at 13-1. Here's my thing with Tet McMillan and really the Panthers this season. What we saw out of Bryce Young to finish last year, is that what we're going to see moving forward? Or is it kind of like the Trevor Lawrence thing, where Lawrence also got hot for the final 7-8 games of the season and then has regressed back to his old ways? Is Bryce Young going to do the same thing? Was that kind of just like a flash in the pan? Or is he going to continue to build off the guy that we saw? I kind of think he's going to continue to build because Dave Canales is his head coach, and we've talked about all season how Canales comes over his track record with really resurrecting the career of quarterbacks, and Bryce Young certainly improved. Also, Carolina found a running game towards the second half of last season. They got Chuba Hubbard back. They picked up Rico Dowdle from Dallas. So I think with Canales, year two with Bryce, the running game to support it. Now you get him a young wide receiver with a lot of potential. I think McMillan's going to have a good year. I'm not interested in betting him, though. The two guys that I'm betting in this market, talked about it last week, Amarion Hampton, for me, at 15-1. Absolutely love it. You get a running back like that, a workhorse, a monster in a Jim Harbaugh, Greg Roman offense with two great offensive linemen in Slater and all, and really no great receivers outside of Ladd McConkey. They're going to run the football. They brought in Najee Harris in the offseason, got rid of Gus Edwards, got rid of J.K. Dobbins. It's Najee and it's Hampton, and I think Hampton's going to be the guy. Once he starts getting familiar with the system, Hampton's going to win a lot of people some playoff games in their fantasy leagues. I really like Hampton at 15-1. And then the other one, give me Matthew Golden at 22-1, the receiver for the Green Bay Packers. Look, a lot of these receivers, right, that get drafted in the first round of the NFL draft, a bunch of them a lot of the times don't have great quarterbacks that they're throwing to. That's not the case for Golden. We know Jordan Love's really good, great offensive head coach in Matt LaFleur as well. And you look at the state of the Packers receivers right now, Christian Watson's not going to be healthy to start the year. Romeo Dobbs isn't really a number one. Dontavian Wicks isn't really a number one. Golden's got a chance to be that guy for Jordan Love. And if he ends up being that guy, could put up some monster numbers. So Hampton, 15-1. Matthew Golden, 22-1. The two guys I am eyeing for Offensive Rookie of the Year. All right, let's get into a little playoff page here on Send It In. Little NBA, little NHL. We will start in the NBA where we have game four tonight between the Cavs and the Heat. Cleveland, an 8.5-point favorite over Miami with a total of 210.5. I didn't bet anything in this game, you guys. Nothing spread, nothing total, no props. And the big reason is because whenever you get these type of game fours where one team's up 3-0, it's a 1-8 game, what's the motivation for the team that's trailing 0-3, right? The Heat knew it was going to be an uphill battle to win this series to begin with. Now it's 0-3. Are they going to continue to fight? Are they going to continue to battle? Do they still think they have a chance to win this series? Or are they just all ready to go hang on to the beaches in Miami or go to Cancun and be ready for their season to be over? We talk about Heat culture all the time, right? We know how great Spoelstra is, Pat Riley, and all these guys. So you would expect the Miami Heat to continue to battle and play hard, but the reality is we just don't know the psyche of this team. There's also a ton of motivation for Cleveland to continue to battle and play hard and get this series done with so that they can get some rest and gear up for what looks like the Indiana Pacers in the next round. So I'm staying away from this game. Nothing for me, side total or props. As for Rockets Warriors, I do like a bunch of stuff in this game. Give me the Rockets +3.5. Maybe even look at some money line in this game as well. Right now, Jimmy Butler props are available on BetMGM. So even though he's questionable to play, it does look like there's a good chance he could be back for game four. But you think about some of these NBA playoff series that we've gotten already, right? Where it's been 2-1, and that team who's trailing in the series, think about the effort that we have gotten from them in that pivotal game 4. Pistons were down 2-1 to the Knicks. They lose by 1 yesterday. Nuggets are down 2-1 to the Clippers on the road as 7-point dogs. They win by 2. Lakers are down 2-1 to Minnesota. They're virtually winning the entire game. They end up losing by 3. All of these games have been close with these teams trailing 2-1. I'm throwing out Milwaukee because Dame got hurt and that really kind of just threw that game away. But the other three games where we've had that scenario, the team trailing 2-1 has played really hard with their season essentially on the line. I'm expecting the same thing from Houston tonight. So give me the Rockets +3.5 against the Warriors. Also give me the team total over 99.5 for Houston. You look at Houston's one win in the series, they scored 109 points. You look at their two losses in the series, they scored fewer than 93 points. Also, Jalen Green is going to be the key today for the Houston Rockets. In their two losses, he has scored 7 and 9 points. In their one win in this series, he scored 38 points. So for the Rockets to play well tonight, it's going to be because Jalen Green has a big game. I like him over 18.5 points as well. As for the NHL playoffs, we got game 5 of Stars and Avalanche tonight. Should be a good one. Look, Colorado's the better team, especially with Dallas having these injuries to these key guys. The Avs are the better team. The two games that the Stars have won have both come in overtime. They really haven't been leading for very much of this series. The Avs have pretty much dominated. They could have swept this series, but this is the beauty of playoff hockey. And, you know, the more that the Avs continue to let the Stars hang around, they have home ice back, the more dangerous it becomes for Colorado. But they're the better team. They've been more dominant for a majority of this series. I think they win tonight, so give me the Avs at -140. And then Lightning and Panthers. Give me Tampa Bay tonight at +118 against the Florida Panthers. I also love the under 5.5. Again, down 2-1. This is such a pivotal game 4. The road team has won every game so far in this series. Florida knows going up 3-1, obviously massive. Tampa Bay tying it up 2-2, getting home ice back is enormous. I would expect a Game 7 type physicality, atmosphere, intensity. I'm going under 5.5, and I like the Lightning to win another road game. Give me Tampa at +118. I'm betting some overtime, too, because if I like under 5.5, not a lot of goals scored, good chance at hitting our overtime bet. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM. Make sure you guys take advantage of the playoff NBA playoff odds boost token. You can make a fast break for the action with that NBA playoff odds boost token. You can use your token to get a bigger payout on a winning playoff bet. All right, let's go to our guy now. Jay Kassan, host of Bet Slips and Bat Flips, which you can catch right here on the BetMGM Network, 1:30 to 2 p.m. Eastern time. Jake, always great to see you. The Detroit Tigers are cooking right now. They've won 4 in a row, 8 of their last 10. Do you think they are the team to beat currently in the American League?
Ooh, that's a good question, PJ. I mean, I guess so, right? Just because they're the hottest team, they have the best record in the American League. I don't know if it's sustainable based on how they're currently built, but this front office, if they make some moves at the deadline and they're aggressive, this team could make another run in the postseason for sure.
Yeah, must be nice to have a front office make aggressive moves. Wouldn't know what that feels like, Jake.
Why would happen?
Wouldn't know what that feels like. NL MVP, Jake, is getting really good. Otani really is kind of putting up pedestrian numbers. So it's kind of leaving the door open for guys like Kyle Tucker and Pete Alonso and Tatis, who are putting up some big-time numbers. Right now, who do you think's the guy to beat for NL MVP?
Right now, I would say it's Corbin Carroll in the desert, to be honest. I mean, just the combination of power and speed that he has. But yeah, this Otani kind of lackluster season, at least by his standards, really opens the door, PJ. And we gave out on Bet Slips and Bat Flips last week Austin Riley at 40-1 because he's been playing really good baseball too, among the leaders and ones above replacement. So I think this is going to get really interesting and really wacky, and I'm excited for it the rest of the season.
Very good. Jake, what do we got coming up on the show today?
Yeah, we're going to recap the weekend that was. As usual on this Monday, a lot of college baseball to parse through, a lot of MLB to parse through, of what we saw over the weekend, awards, futures, everything to go through.
Outstanding. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. Coming up 2.5 minutes, Bet Slips and Bat Flips with our guy, Jake Kassan. Jake, have a great show.
Thanks, PJ. Love you.
Love you too, pal. All right, guys, wrap the show. PJ's plays here on Send It In. Jake brought up Austin Riley. Well, he's our guy today in going streaking, going against Ryan Feltner. Look, we're out in Coors Field. 8 in a row. We're absolutely on fire. Let's make it 9 with Austin Riley, who's batting .286 this season and is 2-for-5 in his career against Ryan Feltner. And again, they're at Coors Field. Anytime you got a hitter there, you got to feel good about it. Austin Riley's our play in going streaking. Prop lock today is going to be Jalen Green over 18.5 points. I like the Rockets plus the points tonight. I think they win the game. And the one game that they did win this series, Jalen Green had 38 points. The two games that they have lost, he had 7 and 9. Need Jalen Green to have a good game. There's just no way around it. If he doesn't show up, they're going to lose. If he plays really well, they got a great shot of covering and winning the game. Jalen Green over 18.5 points. Dog of the day is going to be the Houston Rockets at +3.5. Again, think about all these series in the NBA. The team trailing 2-1. Think about the effort that we have seen from those teams, right? The Nuggets against the Clippers, the Pistons against the Knicks, the Lakers, even the Magic were battling pretty tough with Boston for a majority of the game yesterday. Give me Houston plus the points. And then finally, the Tampa Bay Lightning going to be my best bet today against the Florida Panthers. These teams are so evenly matched, it would just make sense that through the first four games, the road team has won every game. Give me Tampa +118 to get the win. Thanks again to Johnny VTV, Jake Hassan, for joining us today on the show. Guys, enjoy bet slips and bat flips coming up here in about 45 seconds. We'll see you tomorrow.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find your next ride at autotrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
So you call your virtual insurance company to ask a simple question about your policy, but now you're on hold, listening to this music while you wait and wait and wait. Auto Owners works with local independent agents who tailor coverage to meet your needs and pick up the phone when you call. Because you shouldn't be on hold so long that you memorize the music. That's simple human sense. Ask your independent agent if Auto Owners makes sense for you.
Most security systems react after a break-in begins. That's too late. SimpliSafe is different. It's proactive. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to spot suspicious activity before criminals get inside. Live monitoring agents can see, speak to, and scare off intruders in real time, quickly calling police if needed. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplisafe.com/podcast. That's simplisafe.com/podcast for 60% off. There's no safe like SimpliSafe.